And welcome to the SEO podcast, Unknown Secrets of Internet Marketing. My name is Chris Burris, one of the owners of EWR Digital.
One of the owners of EWR Digital as well. My name is Matt Bertram.
Wow. So the site is launched, right? Like it's officially launched. It's out there. People can see it. It's launched.
Finally. Yeah, it's launched and Google hasn't indexed it yet, but it's launched, doing all the back end work of kind of switching over the brand. There's a lot of branded links on like different social media sites and company name that we got to get switched over. Ton of citations, you know, switching over brands, a lot of work.
It is a lot of work. And there's a lot of little details, little teeny tiny details that actually make a big difference in making sure you maintain your rankings and actually improve your rankings and really, maintain the overall customer experience that you're looking to maintain. I was actually on a website the other night. My wife was on it and she was like, look, this form is so short. Like what? Like it doesn't allow me to enter information that I want to enter because we're trying to figure a place to board our dog when we go away next week. And
you know where to board your dog?
Yes.
We have a client.
Yes. Yes. And we should talk to them about their form. So so there's lots of little details. And I sent it to the team. I'm sure they've had conversations and there's probably just some scheduling can be a big challenge. You've just got to normally you just make a form that looks like you're actually real-time scheduling and then you follow up if that doesn't work. So all of those details make a big difference when you're talking about customer experience. So I know it's a lot of work and you've done a really good job. You're staying on top of it.
I built a lot of this website and I am doing the SEO on it like with these fingers. Like, I do a lot of strategy, but I'm like in the trenches and I'm like getting it done. Like
with those fingers right there. That's well, we are actually broadcasting live from Houston, Texas. And Matt and I, we are your results rebels. I don't know.
I mean, this is Longhorn for, you know, I know this is not a Longhorn shirt, but
don't you have to do. You know, that,
what's the Cougars? What's the Cougars?
Cougars are like this little paw.
That's actually the Houston Cougars.
Yeah, it looks like a paw. See how it looks exactly like a cougar paw? Like you, it's indiscernible from a. By the way, if you're on YouTube, make sure you subscribe and follow. But yeah, see that? That's exactly the.
Yeah. Shape. So I separated out the YouTube. So I've been restructuring everything. So because of bestseopodcast.com, right, for the podcast and then EWR Digital. So I took the eWeb Results brand and I've been breaking everything apart. Yep. And so now we have two separate YouTubes. Like there's some strategies with YouTube that I don't want to go into, but basically I unlisted some stuff. I'm going to re-rank it because there's kind of an audition period. And so there's a lot happening. But the best sign is this sign, which is Gigum. Right?
Yeah. Giggle. Okay. There you go.
I know it's confusing. I wear this shirt and then I'm an Aggie and people get confused and, you know.
So that shirt represents marketing and Texas, right?
Yeah.
That's good.
Like Longhorns, Texas, like this is a marketing shirt from Texas.
So we've already got somebody on Facebook, Kenny Holton, who says, great show, guys. Thank you, Kenny. We really appreciate you tuning in. Stay tuned. We're going to cover a really good article. Google Advanced Search, 6 Powerful Tips to Better SEO. And this is by Aditya Sheth. It's a really good article. We're going to jump into it here pretty shortly.
No, first, Chris, how does she end the article? Could you read how she ends the article as we get started?
Oh, you want that as? Okay.
Yeah, I want that right now.
Well, this is good preparation for about the information we're going to cover.
Foreshadowing.
It wraps up with congratulations. You've officially made it to the end of this mammoth guide. So we want you guys to stick with us and see, you know, what is your interpretation of this mammoth guide? Before we jump into that mammoth guide, we do have a review. This review is up on our Facebook page. Which is facebook.com/bestseopodcast. And this is from Johnny Costa. Patif to you, his review. And it is, of course, Fuck us. It's hard to syncopate when you're...
So I'll tell you, on Google, like, yep. I just changed over to Google My Business, we have 120 five-star reviews.
Yeah. 120. Doesn't every marketing company have 120 five-star reviews? Isn't that
normal? I mean, the good ones, you know.
So Johnny Costa says, punch in the face to you guys. I've started listening to your podcast for a couple of months, and I can only say you guys are awesome. So much knowledge and mastery shared by you. I can't recommend you enough to all my marketer friends. Keep it coming. We are waiting for the kickoff of the podcast in 2020. This was obviously submitted in January at the beginning of this year. And I think we missed a couple of weeks plus around that time frame. Just thank you, really. So Patif, to you, Johnny, we really appreciate you taking the time to leave us a review. Do you remember that when we missed, like, I don't know, we may have missed a month or something?
Well, I know we did a couple for COVID, like, yeah, to try to get through it. And then, you know, like, COVID, it's still going on. Houston, as we were kind of debating earlier,
yeah,
is back in lockdown. Oh, Chris, I'm going to control this next time.
So for those of you who are not watching YouTube, basically when he's talking, I'm just zooming into his image, yeah, and... it makes him uncomfortable. I'm not exactly sure why.
Actually earlier, right? Like you had me, you had me signed in. Okay.
Messing with you.
You had me signed in, Chris, but then you didn't allow me to share my video. So it was like,
oh yeah,
it was like the Chris Burris show.
as we were prepping for the content on the podcast. Well, Johnny, Patif, to you, we really appreciate you. We would appreciate, we'd love to get a couple of reviews. If you could go to this probably doesn't work. EWRdigital.com/G+. We'll have to check.
I don't think I redirected that. I did about 30 custom redirects. And then I think the team did another, like with the blogs, like everybody wanted everything perfect, you know?
Yeah.
And then I just did a force redirect for everything. Honestly, like G+ is dead. And I love that you like to keep using that.
We'll just call it.
If it doesn't work, it doesn't hurt my feeling. It's just going to be for anybody that's listened to this podcast, like in a couple months or some of our past podcasts. So I probably should get that working. Can you try it, Chris? See if it's
working. I just tried it. It's not working. Let's do EWRdigital.com/review and then have that the same forwarded link.
Well, I need to send a message because we probably need both people listen to
the old podcast. That's for sure. Absolutely. Yeah. In fact, there's probably one before we were using G+ that doesn't work. But you know, sometimes you lose a little bit when you keep moving forward and making good stuff happen.
So EWRdigital.com/G+ and then /review.
Review. Yeah, I think that'd be a good one.
All right.
Here, real time, we're actually making this happen. It's getting assigned. All right. So one of the things, okay, we'll have the debate at the end of this article about whether it's a mammoth guide. But Aditya, one of the things that I really liked in the very opening sentence, she comes clean and she says, I have to come clean. That's how I knew she was coming clean. She's on something. I'm lazy. While being lazy may not be a virtue, it does come with an unseen advantage. It allows you to look for creative ways to get things done without necessarily spending more time.
That's called efficiency?
Yes.
Okay, that is called actually efficiency. It's about your mindset, though.
Yeah.
But being efficient is not being lazy. It's being smart, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So
I think it's
that's a self-esteem.
I think it's a good idea to, you know, throw out a little self-deprecating humor, right? Because that really
fair enough.
Can be very endearing and can warm up the audience for you.
Chris, are you lazy?
Huh? I'm very lazy. Yes.
You are?
Is it working?
You could be lazy in COVID because there's nothing to do.
Yeah. If only that were true, right?
I mean, I'm working harder now than like before. So go figure.
Yeah. She says, one of my favorite hacks ever is Google Advanced Search. So let's start off with a mini crash course on advanced search, and then we'll jump into six ways to use some of the operators. Now, she's going to talk about four operators, or really we're going to talk about the four operators that she was talking about. The first operator is a site search operator. So for anybody who doesn't know what this is, an operator is just something that you put in Google search to help define what the next phrase or what the next piece of information is going to do. There's a thing called a site operator, which is really just you write the word site, S-I-T-E, and then you put a colon, and then you actually put a domain, right? So you could do site colon ewrdigital.com. And what that'll do, I've used this forever. The first thing it'll do is give you a rough estimate of the number of pages on that particular site. So we've got a new customer coming to us. We just want to do a real quick search while we're on the phone. We could do site colon newcustomerwebsite.com and the number of pages that Google has indexed will pop up. And that can be a really quick thing. So that's called the site operator.
So it's also called like Boolean search. Like that's how I learned it. I didn't hear it called site operator.
Right.
I learned it when I was headhunting, when I was running that business. And it was a way to find kind of like conference lists and like different, you know, for lead generation.
Yep.
But it was called a Boolean search string. And they can get, these operators can get pretty long.
Yeah.
And you can get really, really targeted. I mean, when you search for you know, almost anything, there's a million, whatever, plus like different, you know, 100,000 or whatever that pop up. And you really want to narrow that down so you can sift through everything. Cause really, again, I think people get overwhelmed and that's why they stick on the first page. But if you're really looking for something, you want to really zero in on those results.
So. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So that's the site operator. You don't need to use HTTP, HTTP colon, HTTP forward slash. You don't need to use that. You don't even need to use www. You just use the root domain as an example, ewrdigital.com.
Yeah.
So what's interesting is you take that site operator and you can then now start growing on it. So for instance, what you could search is site colon ewrdigital.com and then put a space, and then anything after that is a search for that phrase on that site only. So you could do a search for, say, brand, and it would show you all the pages on the ewrdigital.com website that mention and talk about a brand. And so this could be useful if you were trying to find out, well, are they good at branding, or did they even have content related to branding, or, you know, did Matt Bertram write a book called Build Your Brand Mania, something like that.
I know where you're going with that.
The next operator is the exact match operator. And really what this looks like is it's just a double quote at the beginning and at the end of a sentence. And really what it says is, hey, Google, I'm not just going to give you one word, or I don't want you to make the best guess of what I'm trying to say. I want you to take these exact words, maybe even a complete sentence. And I want to show me only those pages that have that exact phrase exactly as I've typed it, if it's got a comma in it or whatever. And so that's the exact match operator that can also be useful if you're and we'll talk about some ways that we will use that operator moving forward. And actually, the biggest and best way is to understand if you've got duplicate content, right? So if you're looking for longer phrases, then you can identify if there's duplicate content. And we'll talk about that here shortly. The next is the dash and the plus operator. A dash means to exclude the word. So if we did, let's say, site colon ewrdigital.com, and then we do a plus brand, and then a minus mania, then it's going to show every page that show that in on the ewrdigital.com website that has brand, but isn't talking about the book Build Your Brand Mania. Apparently, there's not that many of those. Every page is talking about Build Your Brand Mania appropriately, right? That's what should be happening. Another example might be if you wanted to find, let's say you wanted to find, here, I'm going to do it. It's site colon ewrdigital.com. do a dash Bertram, right? So we're going to exclude Matt in this case. I feel like I'm just neglecting you all the time. And then we're going to do a plus CBD. So what that'll show is any article on the EWR digital website that talks about CBD or marketing, CBD marketing, but doesn't include Bertram or maybe wasn't written by Matt Bertram. And so you can do that search. And sure enough, there's stuff that's on our website that's related to CBD and doesn't mention you.
Well, I mean, I changed the settings when we switched over the blogs. And I wrote every article on the site.
In an instant.
Like, yeah, an article. I'm an author. And
it's good to be the king, isn't it? All right, let's jump into six Google advanced search tips for better SEO. Number one is conduct basic but insightful competitor research. So there's an operator called the related operator. And really, it's the word related and then colon. And then you could put a particular URL. You can go down to the specific URL level, or you could just use the domain name. And what it's going to do, Google's going to go out and say, hey, here's other web pages that are related, seem to be related informationally to that original page. And so obviously you can think that would come up good in this particular example. She actually did a search for her own company name and pointed out, oh, the first two were direct competitors. The next three were just interesting because they seemed to be like undercover competitors, but they weren't really competitors. So you can get some good information. It's probably worth doing related colon and then your own domain name just to see like who's knocking on, who does Google think related to you.
So that's what I was going to say. And like SEMrush and other tools can do this for you as well. But what's interesting is when we talk to clients, a lot of times who they think are their competitors are actually not who their competitors are online.
Yeah.
And you know, you got to understand those are two different things. You know, and so really it's about your online presence when we're talking about SEO, not actually what's going on day to day. And I think that as time goes on, those things are going to become more and more synonymous, I would think. But right now it's really not the case. So,
yeah. Yeah. So it can help to enlighten our customers. Hey, here's great. You think that the competitor is the knickknack shop down the street, but actually the competitor is somebody much bigger in the next town over or whatever that may be. All right. So Google advanced search, six powerful tips for better SEO. Tip number two, stalk your competitor's content strategy. All right. So it makes sense. We've got the site operator, so we can actually search our competitor's website. That's pretty straightforward. But there's a feature where you can actually search by dates. And it's actually the date range filter. So you actually have to kind of do some drop downs and settings and select the date range. And you can select a range for new articles or articles related to a particular subject from your competitors. So imagine if you knew how many new articles that they had up there in the last week, in the last 2 weeks, in the last month, in the last quarter. It could help you, especially as an SEOer. You may be saying, hey, we know who our competitor for this particular potential prospect, potential customer prospect is. Let's look at what their content strategy looks like. So again, you use the site operator and then narrow down by the date range, entering date ranges, and that can help you define the type of content they're creating and how often they're creating it, because that's going to be an important factor.
Yeah, no, I think that how people typically do it, and again, we're offering other ways to do it, is there's, you know, you can just search in Google for keyword you want to rank for, and then you can see what content's being written about that topic. And then you can use some of those operators to narrow that down, based on the company, right? So you can add that in there. And then also, you know, like I like using SEMrush, getting a full kind of perspective on the competitor, right? And then looking at what blog sites rank. I think, you know, utilizing things down to the blog level or the URL level of like different different addresses is really, really important, because Google's really starting to focus on long tail key phrases and really trying to get the correct answer for the specific question. And so it's really important, if you understand the commercial intent of some of these search terms, to understand what people might be looking for, and then filling in the content gaps to, serve up that answer to the potential visitor or customer. Yeah.
So one of the things that she points out is, hey, here are some of the questions you can answer with this tactic. How much content your competitor has published till date? How often they publish new content in a given time period? What kind of content they publish at a certain point of time, or that they had published at a certain point of time? And how often your competitor has written about a given topic? So just really valuable stuff.
So yeah, Roger created that automation tool that actually did that. So it looked at like the number of keywords that were basically used and where they were used on the site, and then how much content was actually created and at what velocity, at like when. And so, like, it's kind of like content is king, and, you want to understand the frequency and kind of pace in which someone's creating content on a particular topic. If you want to become the market leader, you got to know what they're doing and what you need to do to beat it. Right. And so, yeah. It's SEO, like, is really just online PR, and there's shortcuts and tips and tricks, but really what it is about, like, enterprise level SEO is really about understanding the brand, understanding what people are looking for, and building a content strategy first, and then you loop it into all these other platforms. But that main engine that's driving is really content, and you need to understand where it's going. A lot of times clients come to us and I have no idea, like, without talking to them, what their SEO strategy is, what their content strategy is. And if someone's done SEO right, even site structure, like, I should understand what they're trying to achieve,
yeah,
with some kind of plan or strategy. And when I can't see anything, it's really disconcerting, because you know that they're trying to do something, but they're actually not achieving that. And I see that with so many different clients that have either been working with another company, or they've been doing it themselves. Like, you got to really have that strategy in place first, because what's the quote? It's something like, if you don't know where you're going, you don't know where you're going to end up, or something like
that. You don't know where you're going, you may already be there.
You may end up somewhere else or something.
Or you may already be there.
Oh, okay. That's good too.
All right. So number three, six powerful tips for better SEO. Number three, unearth a goldmine of guest posting opportunities. I like this statement. Anybody that tells you guest blogging is dead is either lying or in on the game. Guest blogging still works even in 2020. You just have to be really smart about what you're doing and how you're doing it, right? And so her suggestion is look, use keywords like guest post opportunities, guest posts, submit blog post. And obviously you want to add keywords that are relevant to the topics that you'd like to be submitting guest posts on. She also uses, in this case, an operator called InTitle. And it's InTitle, and then a colon, and then she puts in quotes the phrase that she would like to have, and it would be in the title of that particular page. Write for us, or guest post guidelines, right? So if they have guest post guidelines, they're probably interested in having guest posts. And that kind of makes sense.
Yeah, no, I think that. You got to be careful with some of those lists. And also you need to really, look at some of the sites, because, some of these sites are just kind of built for that, and Google can find that and devalue it. And it, high domain authority sites, legit sites, brand mentions, right? I mean, there's so many different ranking factors. I think guest posts are great. I think that if you get real guest posts, they actually have more value. Google weights them differently. And so, you know, I think it's all about the neighborhood that you're in, right? And there's so many low quality links and so many low quality sites out there, unless they're like local specific sites of like a church, or, you know, if it's got a .org or some different things like that. But the reality is, you got to think about the neighborhood you're in and who you want to be attached to and who you want to be voting for you. And, you know, like, what does that site say? I mean, it goes back to online PR. Who do you want voting for you? Who do you want standing up and telling the world that you're awesome, right? And so, you know, higher quality is better. And, you know, I think that a lot of those lists, you gotta vet them out. So we have a real process when we're doing outreach that, those lists you can generate, you can scrape a list and have like 900 and then, you know, go down the list, but you need to have a process, I think, to vet your guest post if you're going to go that route, because you could be wasting a lot of time and, you know, so you got to be careful, you know, yeah. In my opinion. So,
yeah. So they're valuable, but it depends on the effort that you put into them.
Yeah. I mean, it's all relative. So you just gotta be careful. Not necessarily careful, but you need to do your research if you're going to get the most bang for your buck. So.
All right. And she makes one more point. Brian Dean, this is an author, has the most exhaustive guide on guest blogging that she's read. Includes a huge list. I don't know if she might call it a
mammoth.
Mammoth guide to guest posting, guest blogging. So number four, discover hidden opportunities for internal linking. Now, we have a little bit of a challenge here because she starts this section with internal linking plays a small but important role in the ranking factors that determine how well you rank on Google. And you and I had a conversation right before getting on to this podcast, and like, I'm not sure we agree with her.
Yeah, I think internal linking is extremely powerful. I think, you know, that those are links that you can control where they point to, and you can kind of tell Google based on internal linking what pages are important. You know, and you want to be continuously growing your site. I think a lot of people, you know, aren't doing content and their site isn't evolving. It's just kind of like a digital brochure that doesn't change. A site, I think, you know, tools, resources, becoming that market leader is really important. But I've been able to rank sites with just internal linking and building out content and resources and tools and all this sort of thing. But I can tell you, I can rank a site without any external links.
Yeah.
I mean, it depends on the niche and all that, but I've done it multiple times because I can control what's happening on that site. So again, I don't think it's a very small factor. I think it's a extremely large factor, actually, if you do it properly with the anchor text and all these different things, but it works quite well.
So. I think if you took the perspective, and I'm just trying to kind of play devil's advocate here and kind of argue on her behalf, if you took a brand new website in a really competitive industry, right, your internal linking structure is probably not going to have that much value because you've got all of this brand weight. Right, you've got all of this domain authority on these other domains that have their own internal linking. But if you're going into a relatively even playing field, you're right. Like, you've got 100% control of those links. And I remember reading years ago that it's the one place where you have 100% control of the linking. And the only thing that you can do with internal linking is to not do it well enough. Right, you can actually hurt yourself by not doing internal linking well enough, right? And that goes to somewhat to the journey, but also to the link values.
I think it comes down to, you know, really being meticulous with your work and like really understanding what's happening on your site and how that link juice is flowing. I personally think almost everybody can do a better job internal linking. I like to see, say 5 to 7 links per page and, you know, maybe 4 to 5 internal and then 2 to 3 going out. A lot of people say, you know, keep all that link juice internal. But I think if you're linking out to a high domain authority site, It adds value, and Google sees that you're not just hoarding it all, you're sharing it. And that's what Google wants to see is, you know, again, somebody that is an industry leader, referring good resources, being part of the community, you know, being a good brand, you know. Yeah. And I think, you know, like there's mixed bag on people's feelings about that as well. But I can tell you, I personally think it works, and I've seen it work with sites that I've worked on. So,
well, I think that goes back to the, you know, provide a good experience to the Google user and Google will like you. It is never a good experience to come to the last page on the internet, right? There's always more to read. There's always more to link to. And so by linking out and having those external links to valuable sources, you're actually providing value to the Google user.
I like that. I've never heard that. No one ever wants to go to the last page
on the internet. Right? I've never heard that. You've reached the end. There's really nothing else to do. Go back on Facebook. I guess that's what that page would say. and just one example, like if you're looking for hidden opportunities, maybe we want to make sure that our internal linking structure is optimized for brand and branding and building a brand. You would go, you know, site:ewrdigital.com and then the word brand, and then maybe visit branding. And that's going to give us all the pages that mention brand, and those should be appropriately interlinked. Like that's the value that you can get out of that.
So you're saying I need more brand, headings and text on the website based on your search.
Yep. Well, this popped into my mind because
you were searching for my book and I didn't.
Well, you know, that's don't worry. I'll get to that here in a second. I know what you're shooting at. We'll get there.
I understand. I already know you're going to throw me under the bus.
There's a big old bus. You can hear it. The bus, the wheels are bouncing in the potholes. It's coming down. It's kind of out of control. And it says, all right,
come on, build up to it.
Build your brand mania on the side of the, well, no, it doesn't say. We'll get to that in a second. So number five is find duplicate content on your website, right? So we know that duplicate content is not a good thing, right? You want to make sure that you have your canonical tags right. If you're gonna have multiple pages that say the same thing, that can be all right. You just got to make sure you have your canonical tags right. The biggest by far abuser or lack of awareness as it relates to duplicate content is if you're throwing products that are provided by a manufacturer up and you're just copying their descriptions and copying their specifications and putting on your website, that's just duplicate content. You want to take the time to rewrite that content. This is just, I don't even know why I'm going off on this, but you want to take time to rewrite that content, and you can use this exact match phrase in order to find that duplicate content. So in this case, I did a search for Build Your Brand Mania, and I did it actually on our site. And it turns out that Build Your Brand Mania is actually mentioned once on our website. And then Matt was telling me, oh no, it's on this page. So I go to this page, Insights, and I see a nice little image of his book. You hear that bus? The bus is coming down. The bus has an image of the book, Build Your Brand Mania.
The image link.
Like the page.
It's an image link.
But the bus doesn't say Build Your Brand Mania in text on it, similar to the page.
Fair enough. I mean, look, like a lot had to go into getting this site up, and it was MVP, minimum viable product. And I'm not trying to sell my book, you know?
And here's the reality. Like, this is why SEO is a task that needs to be done month over month, that you're going to do this search and you should be revisiting your website and doing like site ewrdigital.com brand or SEO or PPC and revisiting to make sure things didn't get broken on when they got migrated over or when they were just pushed up quickly because it was time to launch, that, you know, it wasn't completed 100%. That's why SEO is a month over month service, and you're constantly improving it. In reality, your website is never done.
Yeah, no, I really don't think it's ever done, because you know you're continuing to add content, you're continuing to change things. Google keeps updating stuff, like schema markup, right? Like you can constantly, like when you reread a chapter that you wrote in a book, for example, because I'm trying to finish up our book here, the next book, but you see things or you want to add things that you didn't see before, and so you constantly keep revisiting it. But I mean, the website's never done.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, until all competitors, like you rank first for everything, you've demolished all competitors, you're like the only thing left standing, SEO's never done, you know? And you got to constantly improve, update. I mean, there's always something to be done. I mean, I put in a lot of work on EWR Digital and it's still not there yet. I'm working as fast as I can, actually, because it's not indexed by Google yet. So I'm like, I'm trying to get as much done through like the audition period as possible. But like, there's so much to do. Like, I mean, hours, yeah, hours and hours. Like, I could never be done, honestly.
You know? Hey, we got another comment on Facebook. I've put it up there on the
Greg.
Screen.
What's this up, is Greg? Present. Been in a while.
Always great info. Thank you, Greg. You are welcome. We really appreciate you tuning in. Patif to you, connecting with us. All right. And you are here in time for the number 6 of 6 powerful tips for better SEO. Find missing content opportunities. So this is an interesting one. It would be very hard to come up with this one without a whole lot of experience on a wide variety of websites, right? Because really, there's an operator called the file type operator. So you can actually specifically look for content that's in a PDF or content that's in a Word document or content that's in an Excel document that is available online. And when you do that, there's opportunities, right? So if you've had a whole lot of people working on your website and at one point, maybe everything was linked to a PDF and then you said, oh, we got to switch all these HTML. You can go through and use this file type operator to and search words to identify how many PDFs are on my site, how many Word documents or Excel documents are on my site, and do those have good content that I could just repurpose into an HTML page and actually add value and create more SEO collateral for you.
So I can say, right, like you also want to put links like in some of those documents, right? Yep. If Google's indexing and it's online, there's linking opportunities there. There are different types of links you want to, sculpt a, you know, diverse link portfolio or backlink profile. But also what I used to use it for, again, I was talking about it, like finding seminars or lists of things. A lot of times, companies actually, if you're doing research, will add these files to it and won't gate them properly. And you can get access to all kinds of great resources that someone searching might normally find. So it's again, SEO is kind of a detective and like competitive analysis and research in general is kind of, you're a detective. And so That was a really good thing that I used to use for prospecting, is to find, you know, conference lists or member lists of different organizations when I was heavily in, you know, outbound sales standpoint. I can tell you the power of SEO and PPC is all our leads are generated inbound. Yeah. And so I was making 50, 60 calls a day, you know, had a huge sales team. And now we don't have to do any of that. Like it's all inbound. So I think that, you know, that was kind of a different world, but it was quite advantageous to use those operators to find those lists. And I think, you know, having a top 100 list or from a sales standpoint's, you know, always a good idea. And people are always looking at ways to prospect. I think the LinkedIn automation's like going overboard, honestly. Like it's really just spam at this point. Like every marketer ruins any marketing channel by overdoing it.
They start marketing.
Emails become spam. My phone call with the robo dials are spam. Text message. I think Facebook Messenger is where it's at. Honestly, Facebook Messenger is where it's at right now. But I'm sure that's going to be spammed up pretty quick. And so, I don't know. That's my final note.
Well, when you were describing kind of SEO and how, and it's a lot of competitive analysis, it reminded me of that joke of the two hikers who are in the woods and they come across a bear and her cub. And one of them like sits down immediately. They were in flip-flops and starts putting on tennis shoes. And the other one says to the one who's putting on tennis shoes, "What are you doing? You can't outrun a bear." And he's like, "I don't need to outrun the bear. I just need to outrun you." I feel like that's SEO in a nutshell, right? Do your competitive analysis and you can outrun them.
I hadn't heard that analogy. I just heard, like, I've just seen like memes, you know, like a tiger's running and, you know, like there's two people. So, but I like
Hey, congratulations, Matt. You've officially made it to the end of this mammoth guide.
Wow.
Does it feel mammoth?
I know Brian Dean's stuff's pretty, you know, like the skyscraper technique, that stuff's crazy. And Neil Patel's stuff is, you know, both of those guys, just let's see how many blogs that don't rank we can jam together and make one giant blog.
Yeah.
And, you know, Google does like that. Google likes, you know, videos. I don't know how well this site rank, this page ranks, but I wouldn't think that this was over. What is this? I mean, how many words do you think that is?
Oh, I don't know.
2,000?
Well, here, you know, another way to put it is we've covered articles that have spanned at least three podcasts, if not, four.
Massive. Yeah.
So I feel like that would be a mammoth guide. We're just giving you a hard time, Aditya. This was a great article. We really appreciate you.
It was really important tools in the tool belt that not a lot of people are using. And really, I think from an SEO standpoint, you know, you never know what Google's doing. And that's why you got all these different platforms that you want to kind of triangulate what's going on. And this is a really great way to kind of slice and dice Google to be able to do more research. The more capabilities you have, the more things you can look at, the better you're going to be able to make decisions. So I think this was really a great article.
Yeah, really good. Like, get into some technical details. And some of this, like, frankly, I just use unconsciously. Like, I've just used them for so long. I'm like, you know, who doesn't know this? And, you know, sometimes you forget that there's a lot of people
I use the negative and plus sign a lot, right? Yeah. Or, you know, like in site searches, you know, so.
Yeah.
Today, actually, I was doing some outreach in a particular area, and I was using them unconsciously, so.
Well, Patif, to you, Aditya, we appreciate you and your article. If you liked this podcast, if you got value out of this podcast, we're going to ask you to do one small thing. We're going to ask you to Shiko us.
Share, like, follow. We'd love some more reviews. Yep. You know, you can just share this on like a page that you manage or, you know, in a group. Like, I think, you know, some shares in some different groups would be great to kind of introduce what we're doing if it's valuable. I mean, again, our mission is to help 1 million businesses grow. And so help us do that. We appreciate it.
Really true. Absolutely. And also, if you're interested in growing your business with the largest, simplest marketing tool on the planet,
the internet.
Call EWR Digital for increased revenue in your business. Our phone number is 713-592-6724. We were filmed live in Houston at two locations in Houston because of COVID. And you can get transcript and video and audio of this podcast at our website, bestseopodcast.com. Obviously, we were talking about ewrdigital.com if you're interested in some more advanced marketing strategies for your business. We want to say thank you to all of y'all. We are in Texas, so we can't say all of y'all. All y'all. You guys have made us the most popular SEO podcast and one of the most popular internet marketing podcasts on iTunes in the known universe. Thank you. Thank all of you. We appreciate your feedback. We appreciate your reviews. We appreciate your listenership. Until the next podcast, my name is Chris Burris.
My name is Matt Bertram.
Bye-bye for now. Go check out EWRdigital.com. It just went up.